Job chapter 1, and we were to choose a text from this particular portion of Scripture, it would be the verse 19. In verse 19, we read, "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Much was going on behind the scenes involving Job, of which God's servant Job knew nothing. We can read the verses 7 through to verse 12, where we have a conversation between Satan and the God of heaven. And what Satan wanted to see done to Job, because he believed that Job's piety was not sincere, and believed that if God took away all of Job's possessions, that, in Satan's words, he would curse God to his face. And all this conversation was going on behind or unknown to Job. And God then said to Satan, "He is in thy power, only you're not to touch Job himself." From that moment on, Job began to have taken from him those things that were very precious and dear to him. As we have seen, Job was a good and a godly man who, among other things, feared God and eschewed evil. And yet this man was, first of all, he was afflicted. All of this proves that godliness and piety in a Christian does not necessarily keep trouble and affliction away from our doors. And David knew the reality of that, because he said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Talking about God's people. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." But then he added these words, "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Psalm 34 and verse 19. And the day of Job's deliverance would come. But when the people of God suffer affliction, we should remember something. We should remember the awareness of God. That is, we don't suffer alone, thinking that no one sees, that no one understands, that no one cares. Here we have Job suffering great affliction and trouble and sorrow. Yet God was aware of what was happening in Job's life. It wasn't as though God was ignorant of what was taking place, or that he had turned a blind eye to what was happening in Job's life. No, when sorrows and trouble and trials come upon us and we don't understand the reason why, the Lord is fully aware of what is happening. And dear Christian, you and I know that from time to time, troubles can come upon us, and we don't have an answer for them. We don't know the reason why. But we can comfort ourselves in knowing that God is aware of all things. Just as we read in Acts chapter 7, in verse 33. We read in verse 33, "Then said the Lord to him," to Moses, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." And then the Lord said this to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee on to Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen the affliction of my people, and I have heard their groanings, and I'm going to send you, Moses, to deliver them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." And then we notice also the association with these afflictions. When we think of afflictions, we not only think about ourselves and other believers, but let us also think about the Savior. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 7, we read, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted." And so Christ, our blessed Savior, is able to associate himself with our afflictions. He's able to associate himself with our sorrows and our trials, because he himself was afflicted. He himself carried our sorrows. He is the man of sorrows and the one who's acquainted with grief. And that is another most comforting thought and truth, that when we sorrow and we are afflicted, the Lord Jesus understands, and he'll treat us sympathetically because he understands, because he has been there before us. Now, we may never think of sorrows and afflictions and trials as being an advantage for us, but it certainly is. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read about the advantage of afflictions. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 9, Peter's speaking about Satan, and he says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." In other words, what Peter is saying, you're suffering affliction, but remember this, your fellow brethren and sisters in the world, they suffer affliction too. But all this suffering will be to your advantage. All your affliction will make you a better Christian. We may not see that at the time. But certainly Job, who suffered far more than any of us here, suffered far more than all of us put together, saw his sufferings that way. He believed they were to his advantage, that they would make him a better Christian. And he said so. Job 23 and verse 10. But he, that is God, knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And what must be done with raw gold as it's dug out of the ground? It has to go through the fire to be refined. And the dross is taken away until you're left with pure gold. Job says he knows the way that I take. He knows what I'm going through. And when he has tried me, when he has put me through the fire, I shall come forth as gold. I'll be a better man. Being in the furnace of affliction, Job knew that in the end he would be a better man. It would work to his advantage. While the Lord knew all about Job and what he was called upon to go through, he knew also that Satan had a hand in it. Satan had a hand in what Job suffered. And that's what we're considering today. I want us to consider the afflictions of Job. And we begin with Satan's visitation upon Job. Satan's visitation upon Job. Notice taken of when Satan commenced his assault on God's servant Job. Notice the hour. Remember, Satan couldn't do anything to Job because Satan acknowledged God had a hedge of protection around Job. And Satan wanted that hedge of protection removed. And we notice the hour when Satan launched his attack upon God's servant. Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job, told him that the oxen and the asses had been taken. So there's the start of it. There's the hour of this attack. You recall what Satan had said to the Lord. Verse 11, he said, put forth thine hand now. In other words, Satan couldn't wait. Because, as we've already noted, when God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Those words mean, thou hast set thy heart on my servant Job. Satan had set his heart on destroying Job. And Satan believed that once the hedge was taken away, and all his possessions were taken away, he would then curse God. No sooner had the hedge of protection been removed than Satan launches his first attack on Job. Verses 14 and 15. The oxen and the asses and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. As far as this hour was concerned, or this day was concerned, for Job it was an unforgettable day. It was a day when his seven sons and his three daughters were meeting in his eldest son's house. On a certain day, and we have pointed out, that day simply means they were celebrating one of the birthdays. And they came together. And for Job, it was an unforgettable day. Whenever tragedy comes, we tend to remember the day, the time, the place. That particular day would be etched in the mind of Job until the day he entered the grave. The day of celebration for Job became a day of calamity. These events in Job's life simply brings into view the words of Solomon. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now there was Job's sons and daughters, and they came together to celebrate a birthday. And they didn't know that that day would be their last day on earth. They were gathered together to celebrate. And instead of it being a day of celebration, it would end as a day of mourning. We just do not know what a day will bring forth. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for that day. As we have it on our church sign, prepare to meet thy God. Why do we need to prepare? Because we don't know what a day brings forth. Job had no idea what was going to take place that day. Neither did his seven sons and three daughters. But that was the day when Job had to bury seven sons and three daughters. And lost his animals. It was an unprepared day. Job had never experienced a day like that before in his life. And how quickly and how suddenly Job's circumstances changed, and changed without warning. If he had been a carnal man, just living for self and for sin, he may have felt, well, this is the chastening rod of God. But that was not the case. Job was a good man, a godly man, a man who feared God and eschewed evil. And yet all this calamity came upon him. For Job, his prosperity was turned to poverty. From riches to rags, from happiness to horror. And this reminds us that what the Lord has given to us, and remember this, all that we have is given to us by the Lord. We don't have a right to anything. The Lord has given us everything that we have. And Job remembered that. Because at the end of the day, he said in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave." In other words, Job was saying, everything I had, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We notice the hour. We notice the hand. When Satan came before the Lord, he said, "Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath." Verse 11. Then in the next verse we find the word hand mentioned twice. For the word power there, referring to Satan's power, is the same word, hand. All is in thy power. All that he hath is in thy power, or all that he hath is in thine hand. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So in the one instance we have Satan saying to the Lord, "Put forth thy hand." Then we have the Lord saying to Satan, "All that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So which is it? What was it? What happened to Job? Was it the hand of God? Or was it the hand of Satan? We know what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to destroy Job. Although Satan did not have the power to move against Job in the way that he wanted to, the Lord spoke about the power of Satan's hand, but his power is limited. If you look at this first round of attacks against Job, you will notice that there were actions that he could not perform. There were things that happened to Job that Satan could not perform. Yes, the Lord spoke about the power of Satan. But we know this, Satan is not all powerful. Look at what happened to the sheep. We read with regard to what happened to the sheep. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." First of all, the Sabaeans came in and took the camels and the beasts of burden. You can understand that. Once the hedge of protection was removed from around Job, then the enemy came in. You can understand that. But what about the sheep? Can we really say that the fire that came down from heaven was Satan's doing? Some of the commentators said that what happened that day when the fire of God fell from heaven, that it was a bolt of lightning. I do not claim to have the brains or the knowledge of some of the commentators. Not at all. Some of the other commentators simply passed over it. And so all that I can do is to give you my opinion. Because I could not see that a bolt of lightning could destroy all of the sheep. How many sheep had Job? 7,000. Chapter 1, verse 3. He had 7,000 sheep, and yet all of the sheep were slain in one day, along with the servants. What took place burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. A bolt of lightning, I believe, could not have caused such a massacre. This must have been an act of the one who is able to send fire down from heaven. It's described as the fire of God. First Kings 18, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. That was Elijah praying for the fire to come down from heaven. It's called the fire of the Lord. And it came down from heaven. Again, Elijah called fire from heaven. 2 Kings 1 and verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And the fire of God, same terminology, came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Only the Lord has the power to send fire down from heaven. We move on to the slaying of his sons. There was the slaying of the sheep. Fire came down from heaven. Satan does not have that power. And then you look at the slaying of his sons, indeed, and his daughters as well. Read in verse 19, in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. Yes, Satan was behind all of this. Remember, he wanted to destroy Job. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now he has already lost everything he has. And the Lord said, but and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him. What to do? There it is. To destroy him without cause. And so the Lord himself said that after Job has lost everything, he still holdeth his integrity, although thou movest me against him. Yes, Satan had a hand in seeking to destroy Job. But there were things that Satan could not do. He could not bring fire down from heaven. He did not have that power. And regarding the sons, In verse 19, what was it that slew them? We are told that there came a great wind from the wilderness. Now, Satan does not have the power to send fire down from heaven, neither does he have power to send the wind from the wilderness. God is the one who is in control of all of the elements. He sends the snow. He sends the rain. He sends the fire. He sends the wind. He sends the thunder. He sends the lightning. God is our creator. And so we have here two things that Satan did not have the power to do. Send the fire from heaven and command the wind to blow in from the wilderness and blow down the house that Job's sons and daughters were in. We read in Genesis the first reference to wind in Genesis 8 and verse 1. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged after the great flood. God sent the wind. And the Lord turned a mighty strong east wind, which took away the locusts. Exodus 10, verse 19. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea. Numbers 11, verse 31. Not only does the Lord have power to raise the wind, the Lord has power to rebuke the wind. Mark 4, verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased. The wind obeys God. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. So the wind, like the fire, must have come from God. Satan does not have that power. Now we might say, why did the Lord allow such things to happen to Job? Remember what the Lord said to Satan about Job? Chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan made it known that he was convinced that Job's piety was not genuine. He accused Job of being a hypocrite, because he said, doth Job fear God for naught? And Satan told the Lord, put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And that is what the Lord did, that he might confound Satan and prove the genuineness of Job's faith. We know this wasn't punishment on Job. We know this wasn't the chastening rod of God upon Job because of some sin he had committed. No. It was to rebuke Satan, to show Satan that he was wrong in what he said about Job. It was also to prove that Job's faith and trust in God was genuine. We should remember this, that the Lord does afflict his people. And it will be revealed to us by the Lord by and by why he afflicts us. Job didn't know why he was being afflicted. It was not revealed to him. All this came upon Job and he didn't understand why. He hadn't done anything to deserve what had happened to him. But it was what was going on, as it were, behind the scenes. What God was doing was unknown to Job. And believer, just as it is with us, when we are afflicted and things happen to us that we don't understand and we don't have answers for, as already said, the Lord is aware of what is happening and we don't know what the Lord is doing. Whenever we are afflicted, it's all in the hands of God. His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And the Lord works all out to His honor and to His glory. And when affliction comes our way, we may not understand it at the time, but we will understand it better by and by. As the Lord said, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." One day it'll all be revealed. Revealed why we have. Some have suffered more than others. Some have heavier crosses to bear than others. Remember, the Lord knows all things. He is sovereign. And if He afflicts us or allows affliction to come upon us, it's all for a reason. What happened to Job was for a reason. David said, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." That's a good verse to remember. Psalm 119, verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right." Lord, whatever thou dost do, I know it's right. Thou will never do anything against me to harm me. Whatever the Lord does, believer, for us or to us, it's not to harm us. It is not to destroy us. Whatever it is right. And the psalmist goes on to say, "And that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." Sometimes it's hard for us to understand. Job certainly couldn't understand what had taken place in his life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And we know what Satan was about. The Lord said, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity." In other words, as it is written in chapter 1, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Job did not criticize the Lord. He did not condemn the Lord. He did not chide with the Lord. He simply accepted it as from the Lord. And he was able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So So we have noted Satan's visitation upon Job. Next Lord's Day, we will consider Satan's vindictiveness against Job. And the amazing thing is, maybe it's not so amazing, but we will see that all that took place and all that was taken away from Job all happened in one day. This did not happen over a prolonged period of time. It happened in one day. Do you imagine all that happened to Job happening to us in one day? And yet Job was able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we bow humbly before Thee. How we thank Thee, Lord, for that hedge of protection that Thou hast put around us. For, Lord, we know there's a roaring lion, a hungry lion, an evil lion, which is the devil. And he goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. And, O Lord, we see how he endeavored to devour Job, to destroy him. And, O God, we believe with all of our hearts, if it were not for the hedge of protection around us, Satan would destroy us also. For we know that he hates the Lord and he hates all who are associated with him. And, O Lord, as we continue the study in Job and seek to understand in a clearer way the afflictions that come upon God's people as it came upon Job, Lord, have us to look through the dark clouds of affliction and have us, Lord, to see the bright sunshine of Christ, the one who has risen with healing in his wings. Lord, do write thy word upon our hearts. And loving Father, we pray that as we part the one from the other, we'll return home in safety and we'll meditate upon thy holy and precious word. And Lord, in thy will, may it be possible for us to return to thy house this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks, the shadows all flee away. Amen.